It's the AmeriChips with Kim Monson.
Now, while this is all going on, I went through President Trump's speech and Chuck and Nancy's rebuttal.
The most important story.
The American people finally said enough, and that is why they elected Donald Trump.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
It's almost unbelievable that Trump has extricated the U.S. from the Iran nuclear deal.
And opinions and ideas that prepare you to tackle the day ahead.
Because ideas matter.
It's the AmeriChicks, dissecting issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation.
Hey, welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out my website, AmeriChicks.com. Sign up for my emails. I will keep you apprised of all the upcoming guest topics and important news. And be sure and check out AmeriChicks on Facebook and Twitter as well. I offer a conservatarian perspective. So welcome, Friday. You have made it. Great week, and what a show we have planned for you today. Fasten your seatbelts because there's a lot to talk about. First of all, let's do a little bookkeeping here regarding our fabulous Vino and Veritas event. This is an event that I'm partnering with Dr. Tom Kranewitter and his team over at Speakeasy Ideas to bring you Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth. Dr. Kranewitter is creating a fascinating lecture series on the Federalist Papers. We need to know why we believe what we believe. We'll meet the fourth Monday of each month throughout 2019. The good news is each lecture will stand alone. And the good news is that it is currently sold out for February. And I guess that's the bad news also if you're not signed up. But if you want to get on the wait list, and I would highly recommend that because this will help us. We want to address supply demand here, and so we need to know for sure how many people are interested in being on the wait list. So email me at kim@AmeriChicks.com. And thank you to our presenting sponsor in January, which is Harmony Ridge Construction. They are fabulous building homes, and as they build homes and help you with those projects, they usually become your friend as well. And then February's presenting sponsor is Susan Kochevar. She is the owner of the historic 88 Drive-In. Spring is right around the corner, and Susan plans to open sometime in March. So thank you to both Harmony Ridge Construction and Susan Kochevar at 88 Drive-In Theater. Also, if you run across somebody that is doing an excellent job and you'd like for me to give a shout-out to them, just email me at kim@AmeriChicks.com. Today, the show, we will be talking with Mary Jo Tenlin in just a moment regarding the State Board of Education denied the charter for Ascent Classical Academies in Flatirons. It's just heartbreaking. So we will chat with her in just a moment about that. And then just a couple of headlines. I just need to let you know about this. We're not going to really have time to go into them this morning because in the second, third, and fourth segment, we will have Frank Hawkins on the line with us. He has written a very interesting piece that was in the American Thinker, The 10 Most Destructive Americans of My 8 Decades. So it'll be fascinating to talk with him because he is a former U.S. Army intelligence officer, was an Associated Press foreign correspondent. So it will be so interesting to hear his perspective on that. Since we're going to have some sad news in just a moment, a couple of other things. The Denver teacher strike is over. Trump signs the border deal and will declare a national emergency. And then Governor Cuomo in New York is very unhappy with Representatives Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and other politicians because Amazon has decided to leave New York City. And so I think that we'll talk about that a bit more when we get into, gosh, you know what? Here we go. I lost my joke. Next week, we'll talk more about that. So here we go. This is called The Liberal Democrat Way. And as you know, baseball season will be here soon. So 50,000 people go to a baseball game, but the game was rained out and a refund was due. The team was about to send out refunds when someone stopped them and suggested that they send out refund amounts based on their interpretation of fairness. After all, if the refunds were made based on the price each person paid for the tickets, most of the money would go to the richest people. So this plan says people in the $10 seats will get back $15 because they had less money to spend. People in the $15 seats will get back $15 because that's only fair. People in the $25 seats will get back $1 because they already make a lot of money and they don't need a refund. People in the $50 luxury seats will have to pay another $50 because they already have way too much money to spend. And people driving by the stadium who couldn't afford to watch the game will get $10 each, even though they didn't pay anything in, just because they need the most help. And there you have it. Okay, let's talk to Mary Jo Tinlin. She is a mom who was very interested in having her child attend Ascent Flatirons Academy up in Boulder County. Now, as many of you know, we've had Mary Jo on the show before, and the Boulder Valley School District denied this charter. But they denied this charter after putting Flatiron Ascent through all kinds of things that they needed to do, and which Flatirons Ascent did in good faith. And then Boulder Valley School District took that choice away from parents. They denied them that charter. So Flatiron Ascent and Classical Academies appealed to the State Board of Education. And my friends, that's why all of these elections really, really matter. Because there is now, the State Board of Education is now controlled by Democrats. And as most of you know, the Democrat Party of today is no longer the Democrat Party of JFK. It has been taken over by radical progressive activists that they don't believe in freedom. They believe in force. And we saw this, I think, play out yesterday at the State Board of Education. Mary Jo Tinlin, welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson.
Thank you so much for having me on.
This is heartbreaking, Mary Jo.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, literally, we were in tears standing in the lobby of the Board of Education building yesterday because it was just so sad. The bottom line is, I mean, just the punchline, I guess, is that we had, we were trying to appeal. I'm saying we, the sent people, but the parents, there was a whole bunch of parents. I don't know if there was opposition. Nobody said anything, but we were there. We filled the room trying to push this across the line and get the state board to overturn the denial of this board, the BVSD school board for the school. And we walked in and we realized that there was an empty seat, and that empty seat was the potential vote for it. And so the Ascent attorney made an incredible argument. The Boulder Valley attorney it was interesting the way they hung their hat, and I don't know how much detail you want to get into there, but the bottom line is that, they made an incredible appeal to say, if this model isn't okay for Colorado, what model for charter schools is? And it sets a precedent, I think, for charter schools going forward. I actually was involved in the beginnings of a school that a parent tried to get together in Broomfield several years ago, way before Golden View Classical Academy started. We were trying to get it together, and just the paperwork alone and trying to figure out the curriculum and trying to do all these things. And the great part about Ascend is that it's a replication school, meaning that it's already a model that mm-hmm. is proven across the country. There's over 20 schools like this. And so it was so much more efficient, and they had all the answers. They had all the policies written. And, of course, Boulder Valley didn't agree with all of them, but it was one of those things where it's like, okay, let's just keep talking. Let's just get to the point of, where we can be comfortable. And they just wouldn't do it. Then it calls into question what their motivation is, would they even be willing to discuss and trying to get there? It was just incredibly frustrating.
Well, for sure.
I mean, now parents are just standing in the lobby like, what do we do now?
Well, that is the question. I want to back up just a little bit, though. So not all of the State Board of Education board members were there. And one that you thought
Correct.
Might vote for Flatirons, Ascent Flatirons, wasn't there. Where was this person? Do you know?
I do not know. I don't know. I don't know where that person was. She was absent from the room. Apparently, she had been there earlier in the day, but she was not there for this specific hearing, I guess is what it's called. And I'm not sure why.
Who is that board member?
Her name is Val Flores.
Okay. Okay. I think that's really important. So not showing up. When I was on city council, when I first got on city council, I was going to abstain on a vote. And the city manager was very wise, I think. He said, you know what, abstain, you know, take a stand, yes or no. And I really think that that's important. And elected officials and the State Board of Education board members are elected officials. They have a responsibility, particularly they need to be on the record when we have something so critical as this. So this is Board Member Val Flores. I've got to ruminate on thoughts here. That's my next question is what's next? You had over 600 families, if I remember right, that wanted to have their kids go to this school. And this is a travesty. My friends, we need to wake up. The education system in Colorado has been taken over by radical progressive activists who want your kids and they want our grandkids. And we need to take a stand here. I don't know what the next step is. I hope you can tell me, Mary Jo. Do you have any thoughts yet?
Well, I think we're going to hear today. The sounding members are going to, I think, going to send us a message and tell us what they're thinking. I believe, and this is interesting, the president of the state school board, Anastasia, left the door open. So after the vote, and here's what happened. The vote was a tie, 6-6, or 3-3, sorry. So the tie-breaking vote was not there, which means that the Boulder Valley denial stood. But at the end, she actually recommended potentially Boulder Valley releasing assent to the state charter school initiative, the CSI. I'm not sure. I think that's what it's called.
Okay.
And so for her to actually say that was an incredible, incredibly positive. So I think that might be the next step. We've not been told officially yet as a group, but I believe that that might be where we go next. I don't know if Boulder Valley would let go of it because the problem is then they let go of the mill levy money and then they don't get paid for the school. So I don't know. I can't speculate, but that's where we're at.
Okay. Well, Mary Jo Tinlin, let's stay on that. And thank you so much for keeping us informed. I know that so many of our listeners are so concerned about this. So keep us informed, and we've got to start to step up and help you guys on this. So thank you so much, and good luck on the next step regarding Ascent Flatiron Academy. So thank you so much, Mary Jo Tinlin. We've got such a big show planned for you. I'm going to just jump right in here regarding let's talk a little bit about sports. I love sports, Steve. Individuals working hard to be the best they can be, to compete, to win or lose. And Hooters Restaurants is my sports headquarters. We got the Nuggets, the Avs, and March Madness is right around the corner. And as a University of Kansas basketball fan, I love March Madness. So rock, chalk, Jayhawk. Hooters is the place to watch all the games. Hooters specials start at $10 for a draft and 10 boneless wings. And did you know that Hooters wings can fly? You can have them delivered right to your doorstep. And I did that on Wednesday night when the girls were over. And they love those new smoked wings. They are smoked overnight. They're delicious, and they're half the calories. So order your Hooters wings to go or have them delivered right to your front door. More information, visit HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. Let them know that you know the AmeriChicks. We're going to go to break. When we come back, fasten your seatbelts. This is going to be a really interesting conversation with Frank Hawkins regarding the 10 most destructive Americans of my 8 decades. You may be surprised who's on there. You may not. And you may be surprised who's not on there. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
All AmeriChicks sponsors are an exclusive partnership with the AmeriChicks and are not affiliated or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson and grow your business, contact Kim at AmeriChicks.com. That's AmeriChicks.com.
Work with mortgage professionals who will give you quick and accurate financial advice. Home Mortgage Alliance has the knowledge and expertise to explore the many financial options available to you. The mortgage process can be stressful, and as interest rates rise, it's more important than ever to get pre-qualified now so you're ready to buy. Call Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook with Home Mortgage Alliance to make sure that you're making the right financial choice for you and your family. 303-888-2732. Kim and Mark will remain available to you 24/7 to help you through the process. Choose the only mortgage professionals recommended by the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson. Call Kim and Mark with Home Mortgage Alliance today. 303-888-2732.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. As a Colorado representative to the National Board of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Since losing her mother to breast cancer, Karen Levine has helped organize a local fundraising event called Karen's for the Cure, raising money for breast cancer research. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516.
Hello, Denver. This is Mike Gallagher. Join me weekdays at 8 a.m. right here on 560 KLZ. And now, here's more of the AmeriChicks.
Hey, welcome back to the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson. I dissect issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left, agree or disagree. Let's have a conversation. Be sure and check out my website, AmeriChicks.com. Sign up for my emails. And I'm the AmeriChicks on Facebook and Twitter as well. I offer a conservatarian perspective. Before we get to Frank Hawkins, Mary Jo Tinlin just texted me. We just had her on in the last segment regarding Ascent Classical Academy's denial by the Colorado State Board of Education. And she said that she forgot to mention a great website with a ton of video and information is choiceforallkids.org. That's choiceforallkids.org, and it's the number 4 in that. So that would be a great spot for you to go to get more information regarding a choice for our kids. We need to make sure that we know how our kids are being educated. And to that, I mean, that's an excellent segue into talking with Frank Hawkins. He has an excellent piece in the American Thinker. Frank Hawkins is a former U.S. Army intelligence officer, an Associated Press foreign correspondent, and an international businessman. And Frank, welcome. It's great to have you on the show.
Well, thanks, Kim. Pleasure to be with you.
And let me set this up just a little bit. This first paragraph that you had in your piece, I think, is important. You said America's undergone enormous change during your 8 decades of life. Today, America is bitterly divided, poorly educated, and morally fragile society with so-called mainstream politicians pushing cynical identity politics, socialism, and open borders. The president of the United States is threatened with impeachment because the other side doesn't like him. The once reasonably unbiased American media has evolved into a hysterical left-wing mob. How could the stable and reasonably cohesive America of the 1950s have reached this point in just one lifetime? Who are the main culprits? And you have a list of 10. So let's jump in here, Frank Hawkins.
Well, thank you very much. You read off exactly the opening paragraph of my article. And let me just say, Kim, this article has gone viral all over the world. My email box has been flooded almost constantly since that article was initially published on July 29. And in fact, the Front Page Mag, about a week or week and a half ago, which is also a very important website that I hope many of your listeners are also tracking, Front Page Mag reprinted the article. So it's gotten quite a bit of attention. I now believe it would probably make a good book for someone to write.
Is that you?
At a stage in my life where I could take that on, but it's attracted a lot of attention. Anyhow, to get started, I go in reverse order.
Okay.
And the first person I had on my list was a guy named Mark Felt. I don't know how many listeners would recognize that name, but Felt was the deputy director of the FBI and came to be known more popularly as Deep Throat during the Watergate scandal. He's the guy that fed all the tips to Woodward and Bernstein and to help bring down the Nixon presidency. And the importance of this wasn't so much bringing down the Nixon presidency. What the real implication was that for the first time, you had the FBI, a senior FBI official, directly interfering in the American political picture. And this was, of course, the forerunner for Comey, Strzok, Lisa Page, Andrew McCabe, Orr, and all the others that we know about now.
That is fascinating. I had Cheryl Atkinson on just the other day, and I didn't realize this, Frank, but, you know, she was the CBS reporter who the FBI and the Department of Justice, they were actually in her computer spying on her. In fact, one day the cursor was moving without her touching the cursor. So, you know, I think they were trying to send her a message. She's been so courageous. She has taken them to court. But when I said, I asked her, so I said, the FBI, would that have been... the Comey FBI, and she said, well, it was actually before that as well, and that was the Mueller FBI. And I don't think that most everybody realizes that Mueller was head of the FBI, and now he is the head of this Russia investigation. That seems a little too, I don't know, he was in charge of the FBI that was spying on journalists, opposite, you know, people they were opposed to. And now he's the head of the Mueller investigation. I can't quite figure out how that even happened.
Right. And now couple of news cycles, we now learn that, in fact, this crowd was literally actively investigating a coup d'etat to try and get rid of Trump through the 25th Amendment, which was the so-called Woodrow Wilson Amendment, when president has declared either insane or incapacitated that they can take him out. And just the fact that they were even thinking about this or talking about it is just horrendous. And, of course, it's now a huge scandal. But the real damage, Kim, the real damage here is that the Mark Felt thing went by pretty quickly. And I think people sort of regarded him as a hero because if he'll get rid of Nixon. But the real damage here is how can the American people trust the FBI going forward?
Well,
that's a terrible thing for our country.
Well, it really is, because, that moves us towards a banana republic when you've got these agencies acting the way they are. Trump, if President Trump had not been elected, I can't even imagine what would be going on, because this is deeply, deeply embedded. And he is really fighting back on that. Do you think that he's going to be successful?
I don't know. Deep state is in pretty deep. I mean, what none of us know is what's underneath all of these people. In other words, how deeply infected is the FBI with this mindset? That's what none of us can comprehend, and it's quite frightening, because, I mean, that is the beginning of, a banana republic, where the law enforcement, which we used to, you know, we used to believe in blind justice, but you now have a law enforcement agency which is highly politicized. Of course, I blame Obama for a lot of this. I think a lot of this happened during the Obama era, and certainly fostered by the Clintons to some degree.
Well, I agree. You know what? We could probably talk all day on just a number 10. We better go to number 9, Frank Hawkins.
Okay. You just keep me moving any way you want.
Okay.
The number 9 on my list is Bill Ayers. Bill Ayers was a 1960s visionary who dreamed of killing 25 million Americans if they needed to in order to establish a new political system. He survived all of that.
You know what, Frank, hold on. Are you on speakerphone? If you are, that's a little difficult to hear. I can't tell for sure. Okay. Hold on. So Bill Ayers, I did not realize, I mean, I know that he, was a bomber, but I didn't realize that he actually was willing to kill 25 million Americans for his political ideology. And he's also was very connected with Bill and Hillary, wasn't he, as well as Obama? Did I lose him?
No. You're still with me.
You know, hold on just a second. We're having some technical difficulties.
Okay, do you have me now? Hang on.
You know what? Frank, I think Steve's going to try to get a better connection. And let's jump in here with Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. Jason, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine, and just to let you know, I can hear your guest just fine over the air.
Okay, that's
so
good to
know.
I don't
know if it's just something internally, but there's a outside report for you.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. So, great. Okay, well, let's jump, and I can hear you just fine, Jason McBride, so that's a good thing. So, you know, we're looking at people are, you know, getting ready to do their taxes. And there's still some contributions that can be made to IRAs and Roths this year for last year, right?
Yeah, that's correct. You can still contribute to your IRA or Roth IRA for tax year 2018. The maximum amount for either is $5,500, Kim, or $6,500 if you turned age 50 last year. So you get a little bit of a catch-up, they call it, if you're a little bit more mature.
I like that, a little bit more mature. Well, that seems like that would be a good thing to do. How long can people make this contribution for 2018?
Well, the deadline is April 15th of this year. Now, most, but not all IRA custodians will take the check as long as it's postmarked on or before the 15th. You can't go past the 15th, though, even if you file for an extension. And I wouldn't take a chance on the postmark. I would try to make sure that the money is there, you know, a couple days before the 15th, just to be safe.
Well, for sure. Procrastination always creates a problem, it seems like. So now, what about, can fresh cash be made, like a new contribution?
Well, you know, some people may not have fresh money sitting around. Maybe they've just got like a regular brokerage account or something, and they're thinking, well, I don't have any fresh money to put into a Roth because I don't want to, quote, tie the money up. But remember, a Roth is liquid. Any money you contribute, you can take back out any time you want to, with no tax and no penalty. It's only the earnings that are taxable. So again, if you've just got money sitting around that you're not using for anything, even if there's a small chance that you might have to use it, I'd still say shift that over into a Roth IRA as a contribution. It's much better to have any interest or growth on it be tax-free than taxable.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So if people have questions, I didn't know all of this. And I mean, I think that this is really important for people to know for their own financial prosperity and success. So, you know, explain just a little bit more how this works.
Well, keep in mind that a Roth contribution doesn't have any effect on your tax return. So if you've already filed, you're one of those that are so quick, you could still make a Roth contribution. It doesn't affect your numbers. And then also, if you put money in a Roth now, the five-year clock on the taxability of the earnings, Kim, it's retroactive. It starts on January 1st, 2018. So you're already a year and a quarter into your 5 years almost. Isn't that neat, the way that clock works?
Well, that's for sure. And, you know, Jason, I'd also like to talk about SEP IRAs, although I think that, could we maybe do that next week?
Yeah, I think we can save that for next week. I don't want to take up all your time.
Well, I think this is really great information. And people, you know, folks out there, if you plan, you can plan to succeed. And Jason McBride and the whole group over at Presidential Wealth Management is happy to just take another look at your nest egg and to reach out to them. It's chickspresidential.com. That's chickspresidential.com. And also the phone number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Jason, thanks so much and have a great weekend.
You too, Kim. Bye-bye.
Okay. We're going to go to break and we have Frank Hawkins back. And so when we come back, we'll jump in with number 9 on his 10 most destructive Americans of his 8 decades. And we're talking about Bill Ayers. We'll be right back.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For over 30 years, entrepreneur, stylist, and Americhick Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best with well-priced, made-to-measure clothes that fit a busy lady's lifestyle. Gals, if you want to up your game and freshen your look, email Kim at Americhicks.com for your initial style consult. Kim at Americhicks.com.
Social media is important to the Americhicks, since it's an avenue we can utilize to hear from and speak to all of our friends. For those of you who enjoy listening to the show, we'd love to hear what's on your radar. Follow us and talk to us at Americhicks Twitter and Facebook pages. Also, if you're a business owner who could benefit from some extra foot traffic from like-minded friends, consider advertising on the Americhicks radio show. Contact us at Americhicks.com or email Kim at Americhicks.com.
The Americhicks with Kim Munson, dissecting issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left, agree or disagree. Let's have a conversation. My website is Americhicks.com. That is where I am on Facebook and Twitter as well. And I offer a conservatarian perspective. We have on the line with us Frank Hawkins. He's a former U.S. Army intelligence officer, Associated Press foreign correspondent, and international businessman. And he has written a piece, The 10 Most Destructive Americans of My 8 Decades. It was in the American Thinker. It's getting all kinds of readership on this, Frank Hawkins. And so thank you so much for being here with me.
Great to be with you. Just picking up on Bill Ayers. He survived his time as a terrorist, a left-wing terrorist, and he actually bragged. He said, guilty as hell, free as a bird. He got away with it, and he got into education. He became a college professor in Illinois, and he devoted his life to basically radicalizing American education and popularizing and pushing leftist causes. But the real interesting thing about Bill Ayers is that it seems almost certain that he ghost wrote Obama's book, Dreams of My Father. And I don't have enough time, there's not enough time on your show to go into how that is determined, but there's almost certainly without a doubt that he is the ghost author of Dreams of My Father.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's probably a whole show in itself. So let's go to number eight. Who is number eight on your list, Frank Hawkins?
Number eight is Teddy Kennedy. And, of course, most folks will remember Teddy as the guy who left Mary Jo Kopechne to die in the car at Chappaquiddick. But the real damage he did was he survived punishment for her death, and the brilliant people of Massachusetts went on to elect him as a senator. Of course, he was the brother of the slain President John F. Kennedy, and he became a major force in the U.S. Senate for the Democrats. And he pushed through a lot of liberal policies in health care and education, but the real damage was the 1965 Hart-Celler immigration bill that he pushed hard to change the quota system to increase the flow of third world people without skills into the United States, and essentially ended the large scale immigration from Europe. So he essentially helped transform the demographics of America.
Why do you think he did that, Frank Hawkins?
It is beyond me. This is liberal politics at its worst, in my opinion. And I think they felt that they just had to give the third world a chance to come to America. It was a matter of, for them in their heads, equality and fairness. I think that's their mindset.
Boy, even though he's JFK's brother, I think that they look at things somewhat differently, because I think that JFK really believed in the exceptionalism of America and believed in the American people. And so it's so interesting in the same family that, the policies were so different. I just find that intriguing.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I, as a young man, I loved JFK, and when he was killed, I could not have been more worse for me than if my own father had been killed. I mean, I really felt that way. And then for Teddy Kennedy to turn out the way he did was just shameful.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, okay, let's go ahead and go to number seven.
Okay, number seven was a guy named Walter Cronkite. Probably
members of the younger generation don't remember him anymore, but those of us who are in my generation and a little bit beyond the baby boomers certainly will remember him as the much-beloved network anchor. He really began without, I think, intending to. I mean, this is the most important part of this. I don't think he did it intentionally, but he began the politicization of America's news media with his infamous broadcast from Vietnam that described the Tet Offensive as a major victory for the communists. And he basically turned a significant amount of the American population against the war. And what happened was the Tet Offensive was actually a great military victory for the United States. A significant amount of the NVA and the Viet Cong were wiped out in that battle. And later, General Giap of North Vietnam, he admitted as much. He said, we were defeated, but Cronkite did not understand or comprehend what had happened. And so he stood up and said it was a terrible defeat for the United States because the Tet Offensive had carried on into Saigon and into American strongholds and so on. So anyhow, actually, as it turns out, years later, Cronkite actually admitted that he got the story wrong. It was too late. The damage was done.
Oh, man. I did not realize that. Okay, let's jump. Let's stay on this. Number six.
Well, in number six, I had Bill and Hillary Clinton because, frankly, it's difficult to separate Team Clinton. Curiously enough, Bill's presidency was a reasonably largely benign presidency. In other words, it came after the Reagan era, and the Reagan momentum carried on well into Clinton's presidency, and so it was a time of prosperity, relative prosperity, and good times in the United States. And but what happened with Bill is his sexual exploits badly stained the Oval Office and negatively affected the America's perception of the presidency. And but there was other stuff going on. In exchange for financial support, he facilitated the transfer of sensitive military technology to the Chinese. And then there was Hillary. Hillary is a Saul Alinsky acolyte, and I regard her as one of the most vicious politicians of my lifetime, and she was very active in covering up Bill's sexual assaults. She harassed and insulted the exploited women, and worse than that, of course, she peddled influence around the globe in exchange for funds for the corrupt Clinton Foundation. The Clinton Foundation was a sham. Basically, they spent a relatively small, insignificant portion of their money helping people, and they used that money to create a very nice lifestyle for Bill, Hillary, and Chelsea with private jet travel, fancy hotels, fancy meals, and so on. And they put a lot of their hangers-on on the payroll to keep them warm while Hillary got ready to become president. And during that time, of course, this is widely known now that she signed off on the sale of 20% of the U.S. uranium reserves to the Russians. This was after Bill received a $500,000 speaking fee out of Moscow. In other words, for a one-hour talk, Bill Clinton got a $500,000 from the Russians. You talk about Russian collusion.
Wow.
Yeah, there it is. And so in addition to that, the foundation received hundreds of millions of dollars through other channels from those who benefited from the deal. And so in my opinion, the Clintons were totally toxic. They killed any honor that might have existed in the dark halls of the District of Columbia.
Well, Bill and Hillary never saw Trump coming, did they?
No one did, except a few of us. Ann Coulter and I both saw it coming, and maybe you did too, Kim.
I didn't. I wish I could say I was that smart.
It was quite clear that the American public was fed up with the whole Obama mess.
One quick question. I remember at one of the debates where Hillary mentioned something about Trump and the Russians, and it caught my ear. I thought, now that's odd. That's interesting. I surmise that they were looking at the polls and they realized that Trump had a chance to win. And I think they started this whole Russian collusion thing. They were cooking that up long before the election had even occurred. And I think they wanted to undermine the presidency if Trump got into office. I think they thought that they would be able to get him out of office. I think they're surprised that he's still there.
You may be right about that. Well, of course, remember, it wasn't just Hillary at this point and her hangers-ons and people around her, but it was also the deep state. The deep state is quite real. We've seen it with all the FBI stuff, and which is just horrendous what's happened with the justice system, with the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and so on. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all over the place. You could spend hours mapping the deep state, but it's quite clear you can identify the individuals involved.
Okay. Well, I think we could almost do a show on each one of these, but we're going to stay on task here, Frank Hawkins. Your number five is Valerie Jarrett. And there had been a picture that had been going around the internet of her in her yearbook out at Stanford. And I don't think that it was really an authentic picture because I was out in California, so I went over to Palo Alto, I went to the Stanford Library, and I looked for that yearbook. And interestingly enough, it wasn't there. It was not in the Stanford Library. And so I walked around the whole library to see if somebody had it out because, you know, there were all kinds of students studying. And I did not see that anybody had that yearbook, but I just thought it was intriguing that the yearbook from the year that she was a senior was missing out there at the library at Stanford. But anyway, tell us about Valerie Jarrett.
Well, I regard her as the Rasputin of the Obama administration. She's what we call a red diaper baby. Her father, her maternal grandfather, and her father-in-law were hardcore communists under investigation by the U.S. government. Vernon Jarrett, who's her father-in-law, was a very close friend and ally of Obama mentor Frank Marshall Davis. Frank Marshall Davis was a black communist who was in the pay of the Soviets. He was an active Soviet agent who was sent out to Hawaii to radicalize the longshoremen out there. And his trail is quite easy to find. He was writing during that era for a left-wing communist newspaper. He had a column which had his own name and so on. He was a poet. He was actually a pornographer. He shot pictures of the lady who birthed Barack Hussein Obama. And there are many people who believe, and Joel Gilbert has done a lot of good work in this area, who believe that Frank Marshall Davis is actually the true biological father of Barack Obama. And that's another long story all in itself. It's a fascinating story. Joel Gilbert put together an entire video on it, quite compelling video. And I've watched it several times, and it's quite persuasive. And but there's little doubt. When you get into the birther discussions here, and I know we're a little off track here, but when you get into the birther discussions, I believe that Obama was born in Hawaii. I do not believe he was born in Kenya, despite the fact that he once publicly told an audience that he was born in Kenya. That's just part of the whole confusion of the mess. But I'm very convinced that he was born in Hawaii, and I think the whole birth certificate thing, the phony birth certificate, we've never seen the real one. I think the phony birth certificate is covering up not where he was born, but who his father was, Frank Marshall Davis.
Ooh, interesting. And you heard it right here on the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson. Hey, Frank Hawkins, let's go to break. When we come back, we will find out who number 4, 3, 2, and 1 are on your list of the 10 most destructive Americans of your 8 decades. We'll be right back.
Dan Predovich and his team at Predovich & Company help your business plan ahead financially. The AmeriChicks with Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company as your financial business consultant. Predovich & Company will take care of your tax preparation, bookkeeping, and business advisory services. Dan Predovich and his team want to learn about the unique needs of your business through real, honest dialogue. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call 303-791-3000 to start preparing now for tax season. Organize your business finances with Predovich & Company. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Hey, welcome back to the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson. Dissecting issues is right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree? Let's have a conversation. Be sure and check out my website, AmeriChicks.com. Sign up for my emails. And I am the AmeriChicks on Facebook and Twitter as well, offering you a conservatarian perspective. We have quite a guest here with us today, Frank Hawkins. He's a former U.S. Army intelligence officer, Associated Press foreign correspondent, international businessman, and he has written a piece that was in the American Thinker, The 10 Most Destructive Americans of My 8 Decades. It's really an interesting list. I do have to tell you, number 7 was Walter Cronkite, and Steve and I were talking during the break, and Steve said, Uncle Walter? I can't believe it. But he said then as he read it, he's like, it makes sense. So anyway, let's go ahead and jump back in here. Number 4. Who is number 4 on your list of the 10 most destructive Americans in your lifetime?
Number 4 is Jimmy Carter, who was president at the turn of a century. He here's the thing about Jimmy. He's actually a very decent human being. I'm sure of that. I think he's fundamentally in his own way honest, but as a president, he was a disaster. He actually ignited the modern-day radical Islam by abandoning the Shah in Iran and paving the way for the Ayatollah Khomeini to take power in Tehran. And, of course, Iran subsequently, as you we're all aware, has become the main state sponsor and promoter of international Islamic terrorism. And when the Islamists took over our embassy in Tehran, Carter was too weak to effectively respond, and he thus strengthened the rule of the radical Islamic mullahs, and since then they have been responsible for the deaths of Americans and plenty of other people around the globe. It's a truly evil regime. There's no other way to think about it.
Yeah, appeasement really doesn't work. The long-term consequences of that are significant. But let's stay on task here. Who's number 3 on your list, Frank Hawkins?
Number 3 is Lyndon Johnson. A lot of people who've read this article say that Lyndon Johnson should have been number 1 on the list as the most destructive, but he was certainly a horrible president. He turned the Vietnam conflict into a major war for America. It could have ended early if he had listened to the generals instead of the automaker, Robert McNamara. And, of course, we all know the result. We had 58,000 American deaths and collaterally tens of thousands of American lives damaged or destroyed. And worse than that, Kim, it was a war that badly divided America. It created left-wing groups who evaded the draft, and eventually they gained control of our education system, and they control it to this day. Mm-hmm. Even worse, though, was Johnson's war on poverty, which has led to by paying women not to have husbands and to have children, he's led to the destruction of American black families with a significant escalation of welfare and policies designed to keep poor families dependent on the government and, of course, voting Democrats. So he deliberately, in my opinion, created a racial holocaust that's still burning today. And as strong, as I said before, you could easily put him at the top of the list, and I don't think anyone would object.
Well, I totally agree. As I've looked at this, you know, basically Lyndon Johnson's great society was he came to women and said, we, the government, will take care of you and your children as long as there's not a man in the family. And so it broke families up, but it not only hurt women and children, it also hurt our young men because they no longer had to step up and be the man of the family. They no longer had to step up and be responsible. And so I think that it really has decimated many young men and women. And I'm encouraged, though, because I recently saw some poll numbers that President Trump's approval rating among blacks and Hispanics is significant. And if this continues, I think this is why the radical progressive activist left is going crazy with Trump, because if, in fact, his policies are able to take hold and people start to have the dignity of work and the dignity of relationships and families, then all this that they have been building for all these years may go by the wayside. So that's why we're in the fight of our life. I really am convinced that we are in the third founding of America with President Trump. We had Washington and the Patriots. We had Lincoln and the Civil War. And I think that we are in a historic time in the third founding of America.
Listen, I'm with you. I think you're spot on that analysis. And I totally agree. I mean, under Trump, and he brags about it, and well, he should, that there are now record levels of jobs for blacks and for women. And truthfully, is the country has job-wise has never been more prosperous than it is today. And that's directly thanks to Trump and his policies. He's turning it, but the left is dug in, and they are still making headway in lots of areas that are frightening, including some of the latest people elected to Congress. But we can get into that in another time. If you'd like, we can go to number two.
Let's go to number two. Who's number two on your list?
It won't surprise anyone, Barack Hussein Obama. And Obama came into office saying he was going to fundamentally transform 5 days. In fact, I think it was out in Denver.
It was.
5 days before the election, he said, we're going to fundamentally transform America. And we all said to ourselves, what in the hell is this guy talking about? But we now know exactly what he was talking about. He was setting America up for a final defeat and a stealth conversion from a free market society to some version of socialism and communism. And, you know, as you get deeper, and as we have gotten deeper into the Trump presidency, we can see how, and we mentioned this earlier, how he politicized key government agencies. The FBI, we've already talked about that, the CIA, the IRS. We know for sure that under Lois Lerner, the IRS was specifically targeting conservative groups. You may have been targeted yourself. And the damage here, Kim, is that it shakes the public's confidence in the federal government to be fair and unbiased. When I was growing up as a kid, we trusted the government. We thought the government was a good thing, and we could depend on the government to do the right thing and to be honest and fair about its dealings. And that has been basically destroyed under Obama. But even worse than that, in my opinion, is that he set back race relations between
right.
Americans by stoking black grievances and pushing radical identity politics. I mean, you think about Louis Gates, Trayvon Martin,
right.
Michael Brown, Freddie Gray. I mean, this is all Obama stuff. In every one of those situations, he stoked it. He sent the Justice Department in under Holder to fire the thing up. I mean, this is shameful behavior, and he can never be forgiven for this. And then, of course, his open support for the Iranian mullahs and his apologetic, lead from behind foreign policy, which seriously weakened America abroad. Trump, thank God, has done a lot to turn that around. And, of course, Obama's blatant attempt to interfere in Israel's election by trying to unseat Netanyahu, in my opinion, is one of the most shameful things ever done by an American president.
Wow.
A horrible man.
Wow. Okay, we're just about out of time. We have time for number one. Who's number one on your list of
John
the 10
Kerry.
Most destructive Americans? Okay,
yes.
Number
and
one,
of
huh?
Course, this is my personal preference putting him on because I regard him as the single most despicable American who ever lived. He faked his three Purple Hearts during his cowardly service in Vietnam. He traveled to Paris and met privately with the NBA and the Viet Cong. And he returned to the United States, parroting the Soviet party line about the war, testified before Congress comparing American soldiers to the hordes of Genghis Khan. It was a clear case of treason and giving aid and comfort to the enemy in a time of war. And, of course, we got a second bite of his bitter apple when he fell into bed with the Iranians and basically tried to set the tone for them to go ahead and get nuclear weapons. We're all familiar with that now.
Well, of course, then he's all over the climate change thing as well. I mean, I agree. I think that he's a very dangerous man. Now, I have to tell you that I take a little stand on John Kerry. You know, he is married to one of the heiresses of the Heinz, food empire. Isn't it the Heinz, I think, or is it the...
Yes,
okay,
you have it right.
Yeah.
Heinz ketchup.
Okay, and so I never buy Heinz ketchup just because of that, just so you know. So I'm just taking
exactly,
my own little stand on that. So just a little bit more about John Kerry. We've got probably a minute and a half. I think you can delve into just a couple more things on John Kerry. And Frank Hawkins, you've also done a piece on the 10 most influential Americans. And so Steve and I want to get you on again to talk about that, because I think that's important. And I'm not sure I agree with you on all of those on that list. So I think it'll be a fascinating conversation. But any final...
That would be great to have some fireworks between us. That'd be fun.
Okay, that sounds great. Any final thoughts, kind of the big picture you want to leave with our listeners today?
Well, the big picture is that our country has changed significantly since I was a young man, and I hope and I regard Trump as our best and only hope to reverse this. I think the 2020 election is going to be a key one, but as a matter of fact, I now believe that maybe support for Trump is running stronger than ever. I think the blatant shift to the left by the Democrats, particularly with the new members of Congress, Obar and Tlaib and so on, OAC, I think is going to put off enough Americans so that it gives Trump a good chance to be reelected, and that'll give us four more years to try and smooth out the deep state a little bit.
Well, I do think
he's managed to appoint two Supreme Court justices, and he might still get another one before this current term ends. If he could get one or two more, that would help America a lot.
It would help significantly, that's for sure. Frank Hawkins, this has been absolutely fascinating. So I am so excited. We're going to get you on to talk about the 10 most influential Americans. So thanks so much, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Kim. All the very best.
Okay. Our quote for today, Alexander Hamilton, 1775, said, "A fondness for power is implanted in most men, and it is natural to abuse it when acquired." So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive. I was born free. I was born free. I was born free.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.